In this very short week, we've been looking into spiritual death, and we've seen that spiritual death is the death of a delusion. In fact, the death of a whole series of delusions that we've built up. And spiritual death always releases us into a process of transformation and brings about a spiritual rebirth. So last night when we were announcing who we weren't and where we didn't come from, you could feel some people saying with a certain amount of feeling, and I'm not a such and such. In saying that, there's a certain kind of death. You know, you're saying, right, I'm not an artist, I'm not a this, I'm not a that. But that just leaves space. Somehow, you can take a sort of big breath and feel much freer in the space where that kind of confining way in which you're being seen by other people, maybe, or that confining view that you have of yourself drops away, and there's a greater sense of spaciousness. When I was doing it, there's a mixed feeling there too, because if I say, oh, I'm not Vasantara, there's a little bit of me going, oh, but there's all those positive qualities in that name that Bhante gave you, and you know, that's really important. So it's like kind of on the relative level has some value and some richness to it. And quite a lot of the work around insight, particularly with all the stuff about emptiness and so on, is being able to move between the relative level and the ultimate level, and in a way to value both, to use them both kind of skillfully. So the ultimate level gives us freedom from being caught up, freedom from being confined, freedom from being limited. But we don't want to deny what's valuable. We want to be able to appreciate and operate in and use everything on the relative level, including thinking and concepts, but knowing their nature, so that we're not limited by them, not being defined by them. Yeah, so that reading that we had last night from the Samadhi Raja Sutra about know all things to be like this, you can read that in quite a sort of negative way. You know, it's like, well, everything's just like just an illusion, and there's nothing there. And you kind of discount all the sort of richness and value of things. But that's not what the teaching is trying to get you to at all. Yeah. It's just all Buddhist teaching is just trying to stop us suffering. So it's just we just target it at where the suffering is all the time. So if things are like a magician's illusion, or like the reflection of the moon in water, Yes, there can sometimes be a sense of loss because we have this sense that things really exist and that's being challenged. But once we let go of those sort of fixed ideas, those sort of clunky concepts about existence and non-existence and so on, then we're free. We're free to really appreciate things on the relative level. It's like, you can really appreciate the reflection of the moon in water. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's great. Yeah. The only issue is when you somehow feel like the moon is in the water and you try to dive in to catch it. You find yourself very cold and damp. Yeah. Or with the magician's illusion, it's quite, wonderful to see how this magician produces kind of elephants and wow, and a pink tiger and 47 wombats. Anyway, yes, yeah, so just out of nowhere, yeah, you just kind of, once you kind of understand how it's all happening, then you're not kind of caught up in the delusion, but you can still appreciate how it's all going on and the fact that it's all going on. So it gets us into this position where we're really appreciating things without causing ourselves suffering by trying to kind of hang on to them or push them away. Which is what the sadhana is trying to show us as well. It's like in sadhana, this figure appears, which is beautiful. But we can see that it's made of light. There's no point trying to grasp onto pranayaparamita. Can't do it. Yeah. But you can still really appreciate. So we're training our minds to appreciate, to enjoy, to value, yeah, to be moved even by things, but without getting kind of caught up, without sort of sticking to things, and without taking them in a sort of heavy, serious way which causes us suffering. There's a lightness. Get the idea? Is that clear? Yeah. Yeah, so there's nothing kind of negative in that sense. It's just freeing us up to be fully appreciating, fully enjoying. Okay. And modern technology is fantastic, actually, because it keeps giving us opportunities. It keeps presenting us with really convincing illusions, which we know are illusions. All sorts. Yeah, you listen to some music in your room. You've got the Berlin Symphonic, Berlin Philharmonic, or you've got Adele or whoever it is playing, and yeah, there's this really convincing kind of sense that there they are, right here. But what is there? There's just this kind of CD, this sort of flat thing, which you play with a laser, which then kind of goes to some loudspeakers, which are like bits of metal and things which vibrate, and there's no one there. But we don't get confused and think that, you've got the entire orchestra in your room or anything. So it's the same, we just kind of lose track of things. And you could, yeah, if you watch say you watch a video on a screen, maybe on a computer screen. There's the movie of, I don't know, what's the movie that most of us might have seen? God, it's difficult. There probably isn't one, is there? Star, sorry?
Avatar.
Sorry.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Lord of the Rings.
Magic roundabout.
Magic roundabout.
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with me. Casablanca. Oh, I got some yeses. Well, all right, let's go with Casablanca. 2001. All right. What should we go with? Let's say Casablanca, because it's... okay, so there it is. It starts playing, and there's Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall.
Yeah.
Sorry. Thank you. Yes, let's not get attached to any of it, any identities. So there they are, and you know, and we know it's a film, but there are several illusions going on there. I mean, first off, you know, there are these people acting, so they're not being the characters. They're not really the characters, and probably it wasn't made in Casablanca. It was probably made in some studio in the States. So there's that level of illusion. But then there isn't actually anything there, is there? There's the screen with these, you know, kind of pixels lighting up, and that's all there is. And yet, although we know that, as we kind of get involved in it, we kind of let that sort of, that awareness sort of disappears, and we kind of go into the story, and we get caught up in the story and carried away by the story. And if it's, you know, a different kind of movie, if it's scary or something, or unpleasant, at a certain point, you know, we kind of pull ourselves out and go, oh no, it's all right, it's only a film. It's like we remind ourselves of the reality of it. So we kind of move in and out of the illusion. So it's the same with how we're creating a kind of world to live in out of the way we're organising our perceptions, what we're telling ourselves about things. And then we forget that that's what we've done, and we just take it as real. And wisdom is kind of tapping us on the shoulder and going, actually, it's something which we're creating. It's not like that, really. And so we have a fresh look, and we see how we're creating it. I'm not going to do all the questions, I'm afraid. I've done quite well, perhaps too well, some might have said. But I did get these in one of my begging bowls. I think the order that they came in was a piece of paper which said, "The blue sky is in the box." And there was another one which said, "The blue sky is out of the box." And then there was one which said, "Where is the blue sky?" So, this could mean various things. And I'm not going to ask whoever wrote it to tell me what they meant. Let's take it that... last night we were doing this thing about stepping out of limitations. So, and the blue sky tends to symbolise, it can stand for the empty nature of everything, but often it stands for that sort of limitless awareness. And we've been looking at the six element practice, where we've been looking at consciousness, you know, and is that just the body? Is there more to it? And so on. So maybe the blue sky is awareness, and maybe the box is whatever it's kind of attached to or identified with, maybe. So the blue sky is in the box. The box is also the sky, by the way. the blue sky is out of the box, so now it's not identified. Where is the blue sky? So where is awareness? Well, awareness isn't anywhere. Awareness isn't the sort of thing which could be anywhere or any time. So going back, let's go back to our film. Let's say it's let's say it's Casablanca. There we are watching it on the screen. So it's a bit like, just as an analogy, not taking any of this literally, the screen is the screen of awareness, kind of lighting up, and what's appearing on it is the content, the appearances of awareness. So it looks, when we look at it, as if we're in Casablanca during the Second World War. And events play out in Casablanca during the Second World War. But then if we ask, whereabouts in Casablanca is the screen in 1942, that's not right, is it? The screen isn't within that flow. It's the screen is displaying that flow, but you can't say that the screen is in Casablanca or that it's in 1942. The screen is, as it were, beyond all that. And actually, so awareness isn't something which you never pin down in terms of time or space. And as we know, what's appearing on that screen isn't really Casablanca in 1942 either. Yeah? What's appearing on the screen is wherever the screen is in our room, say. Yeah? So in this analogy, that's out of time. Yeah? So I used to quite severely blow my mind at one stage of my spiritual practice by thinking, okay, I can't say where awareness is. Can't say when it is, it's just not like that. Which means that everything which is happening within it isn't anywhere either. So, where are we? Anyway. So, where is it? Well, well, it's answerable in experience. Okay, let's do a bit of practice of some sort or another after that. But maybe something of that is what Bhante was pointing at in that reading from Wisdom Beyond Words we had, where he was asking, where is here and when is now? And there's our conditioned existence, but there could be more to us than that. But like we think we're wandering around Casablanca in 1942 and there's a war on. Anyway, so let's sit quietly. So, feeling our connection with the ground. Letting the spine be as free as possible. So the body is grounded, stable, upright. Let's see if we can have a sense of it being centered. So it's not pushed or pulled in any way. Let's take a minute or two to give attention to the body, to the sensations, to the feelings. And we've been focusing on the body and the sensations. If you'd like to, you could let your awareness be as wide open as possible. So including the farthest sound you can hear. If you have your eyes open, anything you can see. You can have a sort of visceral sense of, we're not visualizing blue sky, but it's as if our awareness is opened like that. So we're including the body. There's a sense of awareness opening to include all our experience. Like at the end of the six-element practice, not identified with anything in particular. Thoughts and feelings are just like clouds going across the sky. The sky doesn't have a center. Let's see if we can let go of any sense that this open awareness belongs to me or is me. No need. everything's happening, sounds, feelings, and so on. No need to identify them. No need to identify with them. Just come and go all by themselves. Thoughts of I or me, they're just that, they're just thoughts of I or me. Coming and going. If there's any sense that we're doing anything or making anything happen, just letting that go.